to my guru and protector, Manjushri, who holds the heart of the scriptural text, symbolic of seeing all things as they are, whose understanding shines forth as the sun, unclouded by defilements or traces of ignorance, who teaches in 60 ways with the patient love of a father for his only son, all creatures caught in the prison of samsara, confused in darkness of ignorance, overwhelmed by their suffering. You whose dragon thunder proclamation of the Dharma arouses us from the stupor of our delusions and frees us from the iron chains of our karma, whose powerful sword of wisdom heals down suffering wherever it sprouts up here, clearing away the darkness of all ignorance. I entreat you, O Manjushri, whose princely body is adorned with the 112 marks of a Buddha, who has completed the 10 stages, achieving the highest perfection of a Bodhisattva, who has been pure from the beginning. O Manjushri, all-loving one, with the brilliance of your wisdom, illuminate the darkness enclosing my... Enlighten our intelligence and wisdom so that we may gain insight into Buddha's words and texts and explain them.
Oh. 것이 끝납니다. 다 쪼가 되는 삶을 땅과 다 주어 가르친 지구고요. 다 윤도 소속이다. 주어 땅고요. 주어 가르친 지구고요. 다와 이 삶을 땅치 가서 쉬번 하죠. 주어 지구의 인생 가르렸으나 쪼가 먼저 체디를 대화 두고요. 담질 체디 대화대 체디를 지구고 말해 사람은 사람 먼저 대화대 고기요. 세상에 철없는 철없 대화 대디 다 취업마다 요말에 숨비와라 다들 레드미도 아니 심취 지구해라.
I think we really have to ask ourselves every now and then, you know, why are we doing this? Why are we why should we practice the Dharma? Why should we learn and practice the Dharma? Okay, so all of us, of course, we want to achieve happiness in this life. Okay, that's for sure. But what we need is not just the happiness of this life alone. What we need is a happiness in all the future lives to come. So we need to be happy from life to life. So as is mentioned in the teachings, the method to achieve this happiness that we want, especially the happiness from life to life, is none other than the Dharma. So this is what the text, this is what the texts say. But as to whether this is true or not, this is something that we all have to investigate for ourselves.
어떤데 신이 숨겨하래. 따뜻히 갈수나 갈수하래. 따뜻히 마 따쳐 죽는가 숨어 가서 나시래. 따뜻히 쳐지 죽고 그이나 땅은 지두그립에서 따쳐 지두그립에서 따디 지와 땅이 말해 소소소. 따쳐 지두그립 말했으나 따뜻히 지두그립에서 갈수나 따 등견 차장 상대방상 따쳐 지와이는 지두그립에서 어떤데 신이 숨는 걸고해.
Having asked ourselves that question, so if you're clear as to why you need to practice the Dharma, then the second question we have to ask ourselves is, are we actually capable of practicing the Dharma or not? You know, are we in any position to practice it or not? Well. The answer is yes. Why? Because all the favorable conditions for us to put the Dharma into practice, all the conditions are there. So this is something that we have to see for ourselves. These two questions, I think, are extremely important. We should ask ourselves every now and then, these two questions. Why am I doing this? Why should I do this? Why should I practice? And am I actually capable of doing it or not? Because I guess if you are able to answer these questions, if you are able to answer this yourself, then you will then engage in Dharma practice.
Yeah. 재단다 강체 주지 신고에서 다 토섬 세지다 제시 못자요 토섬 검수 세지 제시 못자고요래 재단 고미야 보증원라 삼바야 보고해 삼바야 보증원라 토바야 보고해 왔다 다 토바 제시 못자요 돈다 인보디 다 로빈 시고해 제시 못자야지 내가 통제 아니 다 남부 쳐라 토섬 쳐라 좀 어떤 거야 어떤 데래
Well, if you If you are able to see for yourself the need to practice the Buddha Dharma, you'd be able to see that for yourselves. Then, of course, you will then practice the Dharma. Yeah. But in order to practice the Dharma, to be able to do it, you know, you must understand how to go about doing it. You must understand what on earth you're going to practice, yeah, isn't it? And when we practice the Dharma, we do it through the threefold activity of hearing the teachings, reflecting on them, and then meditating on those teachings. Yeah. So, but in order to meditate, to familiarize ourselves with the teachings, which is to meditate, then we need to, that must first be preceded by having reflected well on the teachings, yeah, themselves. And in order to be able to engage in a reasonable reflection and good reflection of the Buddha's teachings, we first must hear the teachings, yeah? Yeah, and have extensive learning. Which means basically there's a need, therefore, to really to learn the teachings of the Buddha. We say to study, but to learn, isn't it? Yeah. So you have to see the point why, at the end of the day, we have to learn the Buddha's teachings. And once you see the point, then you should then act on it. Yeah. You should then strive, you put effort into learning it.
No, tendesine. Ta kazan kazan shuwa na shire. Ta tondai ni ani chi ta kazan shuwa na shire. Ta ma za tunje kan ga zum de. Ta ta wa ge ni jo shu tinde ge tunje zum de. Ka bla ani ta ningbo len gu ge s. Ni su ne chi che. Ta ningbo len la ta tondai ji wu chung wa ji wu chung wa ka ji ani chi ta ani ji wu chung wa ji wu chung wa lang yam su lang che ta ningbo len jibu dingi lam nyamsu langse ta tonta nyimbo na ya ta jibu shimbo lam nyamsu langse ani chi ta nyimbo na ya o ta tonta konangse na nyimbo na ta midawa sumyongde daba.
So as we have seen in the text, we now have a human life of freedoms and endowments. We possess the 8 freedoms, we also possess the 10 endowments. So these are favorable conditions for putting the Dharma into practice, isn't it? So after having achieved this human life of freedoms and endowments, how are we supposed to take full advantage of it? Yeah. So in the text, it talks about three ways in which we can take full advantage of this human life of freedoms and endowments. So there are the practices for a person of small capacity, isn't it? There are the practices that a person of small capacity, in which a person can do in order to take full advantage of such a life. Then there are also the practices of for a person of medium capacity to take full advantage of this human life of freedoms and endowments. So there are also the practices for a person of great capacity to take full advantage of this human life of freedoms and endowments. So as such, as you see, there are basically three main avenues or main methods.
Yeah. Ta nyingbo karsana jawa chima la ya ngontu ten pyusum tsoba si tabe di ta kodo nyingbo dhoti ti chabiwa sezan tindegi tabe mikche tonda ti yu tamma nawa labe raba tindegi anichi pyusum tsoba zombe kabla lariyang tedo pyusum tsoba ten tabe la raba anichi ti yu la labe la ta jibu chunga nyingbo langba sungwa ya ta.
So how does a person of small capacity take full advantage of human life of freedoms and endowments? Yeah? Such a person takes full advantage of such a human life of freedom and endowments by using it to achieve high status, to basically to achieve a good rebirth in the next life. And motivated by this goal, then he or she then engages in the unmistaken method to achieve this high status of a rebirth, a good rebirth, one as good as this one, not the current one that we have. So this is the way in which a person of small capacity takes the full advantage of a human life of freedoms and endowments. So, for a person of a small capacity, that person would have to overcome the current preoccupation of the happiness of this life. The person has to shift the current overemphasis on the happiness of this life to seeking happiness of the future lives. So a person of small capacity would have to overcome that overemphasis and the attraction to this life's happiness alone. Yeah. How does a person of medium capacity take full advantage of a human life of freedoms and endowments? A person of medium capacity is primarily interested in achieving a state, a liberation from suffering. With that goal in mind, this person then engages or trains in the method, in the path that will enable him or her to achieve this liberation, this state that is separated, devoid of all suffering. Okay, so this is how a person of medium capacity takes full advantage of a human life of freedoms and
endowments.
So a person of medium capacity, not only does he or she need to overcome the preoccupation with the happiness of this life alone, the person of medium capacity will also have to reverse or to do away with any form of attraction to even the happiness of future lives. So a person of a medium capacity trains in developing this enchantment, this illusionment, this enchantment with the whole samsara, cyclic existence.
What in the Risha? Tinema, ta, anichi, ta, jibu chimbe kabla, anichi, chimbe lam, yamsu langche, anichi, ta, nyumbone, ta, zoti, anichi, re, ti kabla, zota, rangtuns, de samatangi, yaman, zo, shintun, samatangche, ta, shin, simji, tuma, tata, sekutus.
So
냐바스 토코도 제단다 딘데게 토베시도 디 아니 귤라 로베 와다디 딘데 충바이나 다치부 침베 아니 치다 님보 로바 남 그래 님보 냠스나야 어떤데면
So, a person of medium capacity basically seeks to achieve or to attain this state of liberation from suffering, but is only wishing it primarily for one's, himself. A person of great capacity is someone who trains in the Mahayana path, the path of the great vehicle, in order to achieve the state of full enlightenment, not for oneself primarily, but primarily, mainly for the purpose and for others. Yeah. So this person trains in the Mahayana path with the intention, with the thought, thinking that I must definitely achieve full enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings. Yeah. So this is how a person of great capacity takes full advantage of this human life of freedoms and endowments.
What in the chini, takazan, le tatuchini, taton the chibu chung ding shesums or toxin ta chung ding chimbos or tindeshita ta re so soon yumbole hat in the yungre.
So these are the different ways in which the persons of the three types of, the persons of the three capacities take full advantage of a human life of freedoms and endowments. So having said this about the three types of persons, we must understand that in the context of the Lamrim, in the context of the stages of the path to enlightenment literature, when we talk about the paths of the person of small capacity and the persons of middling capacity, the Lamrim is not, in the stages of the path of literature, the Lamrim does not describe these paths with the intention only for people to, let's say, develop just a mere interest to achieve a good rebirth. And the Lamrim does not talk about the path of a person of middling capacity just merely for the sake of someone achieving liberation alone. You must understand that here, in the context of the Lamrim, in the stages of the path of the Enlightenment literature, these paths, the paths of the persons of small and medium capacity, are taught as preliminaries, something to be practiced for someone who is aspiring to become a person of great capacity, and for someone who is a person of great capacity. So you have to understand that the paths of a person of small and medium capacity, their paths are branches of the Mahayana path. They are branches of the path of a person of great capacity. So here, in the context of the Lambrim, the paths of the three types of persons, small, medium, and great, is the method to lead any one single individual to the state of full enlightenment. Such an instruction is called the Lambrim, the stages of the path to enlightenment. Okay, so there are a couple of very important things that you must understand. So when does the Mahayana path start for any individual? Come the day and the time when we develop this uncontrived bodhicitta, this altruistic intention to achieve full enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings, come that day, then we can say that we have developed bodhicitta. Yeah. So a person of great capacity seeks to develop that. We need to develop that. But in order for that bodhicitta realization to arise in the first place, it is indispensable for that person to generate the realization of love and compassion beforehand. So the development of love and compassion must necessarily precede the development of bodhicitta. So these two are indispensable. Okay? But in order for anyone to develop love and compassion, one must first understand how one is deprived of happiness, how one is suffering. We first must understand our own situation in relation to suffering and how we are devoid of happiness. We first must see for ourselves how we are stuck in samsara and how that sucks. Seeing, to the point that there's some feeling in the heart. Your mind is moved. So basically, an understanding of suffering, an understanding of samsara in relation to oneself, that realization must necessarily precede the development of love and compassion.
Okay,
if we realize how we are tormented by the various sufferings of cycling existence, you know, how we ourselves are tormented by these various sufferings, if we realize how we ourselves are devoid of any real happiness in cycling existence, then based on that personal experience, and then when we switch our attention to the situation of other sentient beings in cyclic existence in samsara, then when we contemplate on how they are suffering in samsara, how they're tormented by the suffering, and how they are devoid of happiness in samsara, then that reflection on the suffering of others then becomes, you know, becomes real, becomes, you know, correct. You know. So on the basis of understanding one's own suffering in samsara, when we turn our attention to other living beings and we contemplate on how they are also suffering in samsara, that contemplation becomes perfect, ideal. And then this contemplation would then serve as the prerequisite to us developing love and compassion for them. What is love and what is compassion? Love is basically the attitude, you know, the wishes, you know, others to be happy, isn't it? And compassion is a mind, is an attitude, you know, the wishes others to be free of suffering, isn't it? So if on the basis of personal experience of how samsara is for ourselves, and then when we think about the suffering of others and how they are devoid of happiness in samsara, then that contemplation becomes perfect, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. It becomes real. And then if that's the case, then we will then be able to develop, you know, really some real love and compassion for others. Yeah. So you see, if you understand these points, if you think about it, you know, then you then realize, you know, that even if you realize that, so someone who aspires to be a person of great capacity, for someone who wishes to practice the Mahayana path, the practices of a person of medium capacity, that which is shown in the path of a person of medium capacity, you will then understand that these practices are necessity then. Necessity for someone who aspires to be a path, to be a person of great capacity, isn't it?
What in the age is that?
And in order to be a person of great capacity, in order to become such a person, you would also need to really understand, you know, the sufferings, you know, of the lower realms. Yeah. Yeah. So having a good understanding, a real understanding of the kind of stuff, you know, the suffering, you know, that happens in the lower realms, you know, that understanding would become a condition for one to be able to become a person of great capacity.
So 아니 지다 콜라 텔레 참덕 로시 과 태성금 미쇼가 아니 감성 강도 깨봐 있나야 동화 랑 감성 강도 깨봐 있나야 동화가 나와라 비서가 대외 폭로 틴데 섬로 땅대 토네 다 참바도 인지지 용과 차가도와 참바도 인지 용배 때문에 다 신의 찬주 숨게지 차가도와
So, we have to reflect, you know, how if we ourselves, you know, are reborn in the lower realms, and how we will have to endure those unbearable sufferings of the lower realms. Yeah? And on top of that, if we can realize, you know, in our own personal experience, how we ourselves are stuck and suffering in cyclic existence and how we are devoid of real happiness in cyclic existence. Only on the basis of these reflections and realizations and experiences that we can then come to empathize with others and then develop real love and compassion, isn't it? With which then we will be able to enter the Mahayana path to develop bodhicitta. So without developing this real love and compassion, then there's no way we will ever develop this pure bodhicitta.
Oh, Tokshin, Chaza, that's the Karsana, that's all the lamsum, the Taya was a Kotwe, Chisim Chagre, Gibu Chungana, Gibu Tingla, Gibu Chim Lam, said it, that's a good Taya Badoshi. Chigi Chig, the Dame Badoshi, and Kobaina, and not Shimba, that on the Chigi Chig Torches. 기부 침보다 기부 중어다 등다 침보람 수도가나야 독신이 용해시 진대시 달라 고안이야 봐도 녀고해시 다디 제신 부착을다 그리고 양식 람 로고 로고도 오시 진대 숭대배나 고편도 침보 명하시다
So it becomes so important to see you know how the paths of the three types of persons are related. They are related. So if we have this feeling that they are unrelated, you know, the paths of the persons of small, middling, and great capacity are doing basically these people are doing their own things, and their paths are unrelated to one another. We have this understanding. This huge mistake, yeah, huge mistake. So it becomes very important for us to gain not only as an understanding but an ascertainment, a thorough, decisive ascertainment that. That these three paths are related. They assist one another. Yeah.
What in this? That is some research. That in the ma karena shambada. That in the ma desin samiro ta shambada ta nseki miro tinema. That Urisha, that Dinema, that Gibu Chunga Lam, that Dinisha, that Dinema, the Bauton, Dimera Shita, the Gandhi came to Gibu Chunga, the Tumer Lam Girimba Shabas, that Dinema, that Show me the Kotron Dimera, Gibu Chunga, the Tumer Lam Girimba Shabas, that Dinema. This is the Gandhi Shiba Kidway, getting some of the Dixon.
Okay, I think perhaps there's maybe nothing much to say, nothing much else to say about this section.
Yeah. So,
so if there is anything that you are not clear about, you know, pertaining to this section. The topic about the three types of persons, and you can bring it up right now. If you have questions, you can bring it up right now. If not, we will just move on to the next section, which is training in the path that is shared with the persons of small capacity. There's an illustration of a illustration of psychic existence.
Aggregates cannot be trusted. Can we just explain the two great purposes for differentiating the three types of persons and guiding students accordingly? Because there's an expression used that says stages of the path shared with persons of small and medium capacity, then there's the explanation of the two great purposes for differentiating them like this way.
Page 48. According to your root text, Lamrin Jammu is page 139. So the question essentially is this here. Oh, I'll just read from the text. If the teachings for the persons of small and medium capacities are prerequisites for the person of great capacity, then they may as well be considered stages for the path of the person of great capacity. If you say they are necessities, so why not just call everything to be the path or the stages of the path of a person of great capacity? Then why should we bother to say, oh, this is the stages of the path that is shared with the persons of small capacity, or this is the stages of the path that is shared with the persons of medium capacity? Essentially, that's the question. And the answer here is there are two great purposes. Yeah. So, like what I've mentioned earlier, you're clear as to what the persons, what the three types of persons are. Yeah. I mean, of course, they are the small, medium, and great. Yeah. But you know roughly what they are, isn't it? Yeah. Having said that, I also said that the Lamrim, the stages of the path to enlightenment literature, is an instruction to lead one single individual to achieve the state of full enlightenment. The Lamrim is not here primarily to teach, you know, a person of small capacity to achieve their goals alone. The Lamrim is also not here primarily to teach a person of medium capacity how they should achieve their goal. That's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose of the Lamrim is to show how one, a single individual, is to be led onto the path to enlightenment. So, what is one of the reasons why we use the expression the path that is shared with the person of small capacity or the path that is shared with the persons of medium capacity? Why do we use that term instead of saying the path of the person of small capacity, for example? One of the reasons is this, is to stop right from the beginning, you know, any kind of pride that a person may have, you know, thinking that right from the beginning, without even any training, they think that, oh, I'm a person of great capacity, and therefore, I have no need for everything else, you know. I don't have to do all those, you know, those other practices. You know? I'm a person of great capacity. Yeah? So there may be this kind of pride. Yeah? So it's to destroy that kind of pride. And the other reason for using the expression the path that is shared with the persons of small and medium capacity is that by doing so, it greatly benefits these three types of persons. You got it? The answer is there in the text, so the reply to the question. There are two great purposes for differentiating three types of persons and guiding the students accordingly. Number one, it destroys the presumption of asserting that you are a person of great capacity, despite not having developed the states of mind common to persons of small and medium capacities. And number two, it is of great benefit for those whose minds have the greatest, medium, and least capacity.
Otonda,
So, you know, although the Lamrim essentially is for someone, is to be, to help a single individual achieve enlightenment, to become a person of great capacity, isn't it? So if that's the case, no, then we can just say it's a stages to the path to enlightenment, just alone, yeah? But the Lamrim is not just, it's not called that alone. The Lamrim is usually referred to as the stages of the path of the three types of beings. So why do we have to call the Lamrim like this? Precisely for the reason I've explained earlier. Would you like to give up?
Okay. I'm not talking.
Okay. Yeah, the mic. Yeah.
Do enlightenment and full enlightenment mean the same thing? If we say full enlightenment, does that mean that there's a half enlightenment?
There's no enlightenment for sure. I guess when we're halfway along the path, I guess.
Tati Chigdanta Tati is some of the language, Chagar, Takarsor, Penata Changjup said Chigdanta Karsan Changjup said Lata Chung Shabana, that Nindogi Changjup, Ranjagi Changjup, Tejigi Changjup, Seneta Changjup.
The English translation is enlightenment, yeah, but the word in Tibetan is called Changchub, yeah. There are three kinds of changchub, or three kinds of enlightenment. There is the hearer's enlightenment, the solitary realizer's enlightenment, and the Mahayana enlightenment, enlightenment of the great vehicle. Just as there are three paths, there's the hearer's path, the solitary realizer's path, and the Mahayana path, isn't it? So since there are three paths, there are also the three enlightenments, the enlightenments of the respective paths. So therefore you have three enlightenments. Or three types of enlightenments.
Oh, tindeshine. That tinde samla tan do kala. Ta nindo yi changju da lan je changju de ta. Changju yong su zo ji de wes na. Ta ti re ma re su na pe ji ma re su na ta changju ta yong su zo pas ta. Se de ta. Na mo se tam je kyan ba se de ta zo te je changju lo ko ge ya.
Okay, so there are the three types of enlightenment, isn't it? The hearer's enlightenment, the solitary realizer's enlightenment, and the enlightenment of the Mahayana, the great vehicle. Because there are these three paths, isn't it? So is the hearer's enlightenment and the solitary realizer's enlightenment, are these two types of enlightenment full and complete enlightenment? If you were to ask yourself that question. And the answer would have to be no. The hearer's enlightenment is not a full and complete enlightenment. The solitary realizer's enlightenment is not a full and complete enlightenment. Yeah.
That Yonsu Zopati, anything that Tamsi Chamasha, that saw the Yonsu was the Jiba Nili Tukuyar, Shidipang, and in Yumu Jiba Tamjeli Tuadilla, that Yonsu Zopa said that in the channel is indigmental.
Okay, so the hearer's enlightenment and the solitary realizer's enlightenment are not full and complete enlightenment. So, in that, you can say that, yeah. It's only the Mahayana enlightenment that is considered to be the full and complete enlightenment. Because in order for enlightenment, the state of enlightenment to be full and complete, one must have freed, oneself from the two obstructions, the two obscurations. Yeah. It's essentially in simple English, in order for a state of enlightenment to be full and complete, you must have eliminated both the afflictions together with their imprints, the predispositions of the afflictions. Only after eliminating these two, then you can achieve, then you say that you have achieved a complete, a full enlightenment. 100分,
that means. Yeah. Whether you call half enlightenment, I'm not sure, but there's some difference here. So. That in this, when children are called Gangla, the Sajinam Tindimuda, that you watch him, Nimbuchi, the limit, so the Suda, Kazan Sayakala, neck up, Semji, turn to back, that turn to the shadow, neck up, one to Tatu Nilek, Sinitisha, Tatu Nilek, Sidima, Dishi, Demnogana.
So having said this, if you remember from the earlier lesson, when we talk about achieving the welfare of sentient beings, the welfare of sentient beings consists both the provisional goals and the ultimate goals, the final goals. Yeah, provisional means maybe temporary. Temporary goals Temporary goals and final goals. Yeah, temporary goal is what? It's basically high status, a good rebirth. Final goal means definite goodness. Final goal refers to definite goodness. Definite goodness. No. Ultimate happiness, yeah. But definite goodness here is split into two, yeah, in the text. It says liberation from cyclic existence and omniscience, full of enlightenment. So you understand what's the qualm, no? Or what's a possible qualm? So it is saying that basically liberation is a definite goodness, right? Definite means ultimate, yeah. So, you understand what's the qualm? Oh, not qualm, but.
Okay.
Bocchi, earlier you mentioned that. In order to have bodhicitta, first we have to understand the suffering of the lower realms, right? Like hell realms. So my question is that if we have not been there, how are we going to experience this suffering? Let me give you an example. Unless you are the woman, you will not know what is the suffering of childbirth. And even if you are the woman, unless you give birth, then you understand what is the childbirth. So I think the same thing. We have not been there. Or rather, I can't. I have been there or not, I don't know. In my previous life, I can't remember anyway. Okay, please explain.
So basically, the point is, if you cannot remember, so don't have to think about it. Basically, and therefore did not exist, or does not exist. Fair question. I think a lot of us think like that. I cannot remember, so why bother? It's a very good question.
Yeah.
Perhaps you may want to introduce yourselves.
I'm Kusala.
Kusala.
And I definitely, I just want to share this, but Ken Rinpoche will surely answer the question. I see on a daily basis the stray cats where I stay, and I feed some of them, you know, I'm not the only one. But besides the point, just in this last week, that's a lower rim. That is a lower rim, isn't it? Okay. Mm-hmm. And there are those that occasionally just get lost in the drainage. So from one grill to another grill, you can't lift the grill, they can't come out. You know, the drains downstairs, mm-hmm. they have the grills. The other one has a little bit of some accident, I suppose, on his leg. Thank God he seems okay. But there you go, he's sitting, sleeping on the corridor. Even though I could make a box, I put some plastic. But he's on the corridor. At any given time, a neighbor may not like, somebody may throw some water, he might get kicked again. I see that suffering of a lower rim right with my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Sorry, I can't agree to you. For the cat, I can see it. But I'm saying in the hell realm, and I can't see it in the hell realm, you see. For a cat suffering, yes, I can see. A dog suffering, I can see. But what about the hell realm, the hungry ghost?
What do you eat for breakfast 375 days ago?
Sorry. Yeah, but now I don't experience it, right?
Well, therefore, you didn't eat breakfast 375 days ago. Just thinking.
Right, ina tanda shiwa na shire. So so ni ta rang teng la, ta rang la dunga nyong su di samu tang che, ta shingi dunga di nyong ai di, ta nuba che shui che kuyo tanda yi, ta rang teng di rang la dunga nyong ba jina, and te bak che, ane shingi dunga ji si dunga la nam sang ta semu kujo shimu te tui si. Zwa. Ta di, ta jio mungo du shire.
Well, I think it goes without saying that, you know, if you really know what suffering is, you know, through your own experience. Yeah. Then obviously, you know, if you see that the same thing happening to others, then it's easy to empathize. It's easy to feel. Yeah. Okay. You accept. Yeah. Isn't it?
So
I agree.
There's one time. There's one month. So he never have his toothache in his life. He never have his feeling of his toothache. So one of his friend, the monk, he have toothache. So the friend tell him, I'm very sick and pain. No, the monk never understand what is the bone, what they get pain, you know. So the monk cannot feel it. Only after 1 year that he have his own toothache, then he realized how painful it is. You know, until that he didn't recognize the pain. How much pain was that? Oh, Tuxin, Tonda in team, but that Tanda Shubana Shire, but so soon young by now, singing you at the young to a shire. Chibanga to that, Pena, that me, Dunga, Sadi, Rang Tanga, some of the Rang Dunga, not Rang the Ben Makanda, that Dunga, Shawajin, but Rang Tanga, some diner, that me, Shia, Ted of Suba in Sin, that some of the tongue to a young girl.
所以 of course, if the best is, I mean, if you really, if you've gone through the experience yourself, I mean, well, I'm not sure whether there's even a correct way of saying it in English or not, because anyway, if you understand suffering, yeah, if you understand suffering on your own individual basis, yourself, then you'll be able to understand what others are going through. So, as a human being, you know, we all have our fair share of our problems and how we are under the control of suffering, how our wishes are not fulfilled, our desires are not met all the time. So, based on this, you know, then we can also infer that other human beings have the same problem. And that inference is true, isn't it? You're able to understand the suffering of other human beings. Yeah, based on your own experience. You don't have to take their rebirth, they are also human beings, to become like them in order to understand what he or she is going through.
Oh, that's right. rangda minyamba tele memba ta tundro da cha cha ba na mile tap jo cha gyo ra ba ko chip tundu nye na ma me shi ne da ba kan do ba na ma me shi ne de de ga ni chi ni chi ku ba in ba ti ta ta tin de ge te ne ta ri pa thila te ne thela do ma yo ba ti po tu ko ra.
So based on one's our own experience, we can infer when we can and it's come to understand what other human beings must be also going through, isn't it? Yeah. So there, if that's the case, you know, then what about then for those beings who are in who are lower than us human beings, and let's say the animals, yeah, based on our experience, common experience as human beings, we can infer and come to understand the kind of stuff that animals must be going through, isn't it? I mean, they are foolish, they're ignorant, isn't it? They are unable to tell us what they want. No, I mean, they have their own desires, but they're unable to speak, isn't it? Yeah, unlike us, yeah. So based on our common human experience, when we look at the animals, we can come to an understanding of what they are going through. Yeah. Possible?
Tak dapat tindak tangguh ini barai. Orang tak ada nasi, ane tine mata itu kan, tak nyawa, tak tundur se, tundur le, tak tap juga, ida sungguh, lewa, tak ida ke tunga, tak, ane tangguh tu ida sungguh, usus tunggu ya mati, ina yang tak pakai, benda milik jawa, tambah ni, tak benda kasuar, okay, tak lomba mengbola, tak benda negi nasi, tak ida usus mati, tunggu tu kan, mengbola itu tunggu, tunggu tu.
Then the hungry girls are of course in a far worse off state than the animals, yeah. Okay. Of course, generally speaking, we don't see the hungry ghosts. We don't directly perceive them. But we can use a common human experience to infer their state of existence and suffering. Yeah? Because in this human world of ours, there are many human beings who are like hungry ghosts. Yeah? Suffering, sick, deprived of sustenance and so forth. Yeah, so when we look at these human beings, you know, you have fair, pretty good understanding of what it means. Yeah. Some understanding of what it means to be hungry ghost. Yeah.
Oh, tender to a lumba kashela that muke teche that chew that tomato chut yoba ina chut zangma meeting it. Say ina ya that longju meeting kadu ina that charju mabuche kambu chade ngonzo that sanju tenzo na tapa tongde to a. Tender to a ko ida ngosu maru charo.
So, I mean, we see in the news and in many places where people do not have clean drinking water. And water is there, but it's not fit for drinking. Then they are not able, they do not have any food and so forth. Yeah. So, it's like for us, they are like hungry ghosts. Yeah. Isn't it? Not human being. Yeah. Not even a decent human existence, isn't it? It's like hungry ghosts. Yeah.
That Tanda Nimbody Carsena, so solo Nimaji Chumarach, Semarach, the Tumakasu Yabadi, T. Ripe Samatanse, Tel Paro Tila, Tuma Yabadi, Botorba, Yontorba, Simba Yotetorba in the Samatanse.
Based on our own experience of how it feels to be deprived of food and water, based on that, we can infer what others are going through when they do not have food and water like the hungry ghost. Yeah.
Oh, taka nashin re. Oh, toshin re. That taka nashin. So that nyawa ida seidi ngazu that ngosum that tundo la rip dami la yaro tundo kang ngazu tongtoe keba yo mare. That taka ida nyawa seidi ngazu chazang that tongtoe guyo mati ina yang tundo yo sibashi yo chogashi that ripu duku guyo re. Roba.
So, of course, we say we can see the animal realm. But even within the animal world, there are so many kinds of species. We cannot claim to to say that we know every single species out there. But then when we talk about the hungry ghosts and hell beings, in general, of course, this is not something that people in general are able to see. But so how can we come to understand their existence? We can come to an understanding of their existence using reason, logic and reason. So this is such a topic such as the existence of the lower realms and those that we cannot see, like hell and hungry ghosts. Their existence, we can come to a realization of their existence first through the avenue of logic and reasoning. That's the thing that opened up to us now, isn't it? So therefore, we need to train or need to understand the logic and reasoning that shows or that can help us infer the existence of these rebirths. And this, and we can only achieve such an inference through learning. So it takes a bit of time. So we will get into this as we go along. So the main thing is to use logic and reasoning.
That media that never so much in Chakdua, or suit on the Shikwes, some Namda Yamas, Tomachim Jay Yumutua, Ramase, and Shinla Namda Jay Yumutua.
So basically, we have to think about this and to do some more further investigation and study and learning the reasons. But one of the ways to think about it is through karma. Our actions have consequences. So our virtuous actions will lead to the result of happiness. Our non-virtuous actions will lead to the result of suffering. And even with regards to suffering, depending on the degree and the weight of that negative action, then the results will commensurate with that, isn't it? The suffering that you get, the suffering that we will experience due to our negative actions, that suffering is commensurate with the degree and the weight and how heavy the negative action is. So the heavier the negative action, the heavier the suffering. Yeah, worst states of existence, that's the point, like the lower realms, isn't it? This is one way of looking at it. Then, using common human experience, we as an individual, when we are happy, when we are in good mood, how do you look? How do others see you? You appear, generally speaking, pleasant, yeah? Happy, isn't it? But, in the next moment, due to some causes and conditions, then your mood changes, you become upset. Then your demeanor changes as well. The way you present yourself to others changes. How you look changes as well, isn't it? Yeah. People suddenly you look, wow, so terrifying. Well, this is like toya pe jia pe. I mean, of course that was not said lah, but the point is that literally you look like a hell guardian. I mean, hell guardian is toya jia, right? Yeah, so you look like a hell guardian, yeah. I mean, you're here in the human world, but you look like a hell guardian.
Yeah. Seeking
when we get so upset, so angry, everything looks different to us, yeah, isn't it? Looks everything becomes basically we paint everything with you know, take on a completely different light. Everything looks unpleasant. Every single thing, the surrounding, the people around you, you know. Yeah.
Oh, that for sure.
And isn't it so the way the people around us, then the way the environment appears to us depend very much on the state of our mind. And so if we are very, very upset, very unhappy, everything appears unpleasant. Everybody appears in unpleasant. And when we have that kind of appearance of the world and people around us, how do we feel? We feel terrible, miserable, isn't it? Unhappy, isn't it? So much unhappiness, suffering, isn't
it?
So if we think about it, you know, because when we talk about mind, there are virtuous states of mind and non-virtuous states of mind. So commensurate with that, the results, you know, will be either happiness or suffering, pleasant or unpleasant results, isn't it? Yeah. So from this, you know. No, we can infer with regards to the states of possible states of existence, no? Embodied existence like this. No? Therefore, because there is positive and negative karma, therefore it is possible to talk about relatively happier states of existences and relatively states of existences that are filled with problems and suffering. So, do you think about it through logic and reasoning? You can posit, you know, different experiences, different states of existence. It's different. Depending on your state of mind, you have different karma. So you know, when we talk about these different lower realms and stuff, it's not just that we have to accept just because, you know, it's there in the Buddha's teachings, or it's not as if somebody came along, you know, and then, you know, created this idea, made this whole thing up. Yeah. It is something that can be established, yeah, with thinking. So depending on the state of existence that you are born into, you know, so the more lowly a state of existence you are born into, the more suffering you will experience. One can say that, isn't it? Yeah. Of course, the lower, the more suffering, yeah? Isn't it? Generally speaking, yeah? So, from this, why can't we say that comparing an animal rebirth and a hungry ghost rebirth, and hungry ghost will have more suffering? And why can't we say that comparing a hungry ghost rebirth and a hell rebirth, a hell being has much more suffering? Because there are varying degrees of negative karma, isn't it? The weight of negative karma differs, yeah, from action to action, yeah. So heavier, less heavy negative karma would mean an experience as an animal. Heavier negative action would throw you into the hungry ghost river, and then the heaviest of the negative actions would then land us in hot soup, literally, you know, in the hell realms, yeah. So the result that you experience is commensurate with the negative action itself. So there's something to think about, isn't it? From this we can understand, oh, these are the various states of existences and the accompanying suffering. So it's not necessarily that we have to then, you know, do something to, you know, trigger off that memory. I think I was in hot soup before, that kind of thing. I was boiling, you know. Of course, ideal lah, if you can lah. But the point, waysai ma lang, waysai ma.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, can I add on?
你是谁?
Christopher.
Yeah,
I just want to add on to that brother who said you have to suffer. Now, I want you to think carefully about hell. Sometimes it's the hot hell, cold hell. Sometimes whenever we get scalded, we have scalded before, we get boiling water before, we've been burned before. We try to amplify that feeling of suffering 100 times, 1,000 times. Sometimes you can actually experiencing hell in earth. You don't have to go there. So what I'm saying is, a person who leads a good life without any body sickness, sometimes it's no good because you don't know what's suffering. So you have gone through different types of sufferings, and if you really want to learn suffering, it's good you go to visit those dying patients. They can describe their pain to you. They can tell you, I got burning pain, I got sharp pain, like knife cutting. So
despite them looking normal, is it?
Sorry?
They have these visions.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, sometimes the pain can be inferred or amplified from what people describe on this earth. You don't have to go to hell to experience it. And also the hungry ghosts, you look at those Africans with a big tummy and think of them with a bad mouth sore. So exactly, we can actually imagine these are the sufferings they are going through. Okay, I hope it makes sense to you, all of you.
So the point here is that we have to start with something, you know, obvious, I mean, based on our own experience. So, I mean, in order for us to empathize with the suffering of others, you know, to know what others are going through, I mean, we first must have at least some small understanding of what Tai Chi is and the problem is there. So if you know, if you think that, I mean, of course, it's impossible to have no suffering, but I know some people probably think that, yeah, everything is good now. So they don't have this idea of what suffering is. Then, of course, then it's difficult for them, you know, I mean, to really understand what others are going through. Yeah. So I mean, start with the obvious, like, you know, it's like, well, if we don't get food for one day, how does it feel? If you don't get water for one day, then how does it feel? I think all of you know, you know before, right? if you have a headache, if you have experienced, you know, if you've gone through what a headache is, then you know what others are talking about when they say, wow, tao tin tia le. So the best way of empathizing with the suffering of others, to realize the suffering of others is to understand suffering on an individual level. Yeah. Because when you have some, based on your own experience, then you can then infer. You can infer what others may be going through. Yeah. So the way to think about the sufferings of those beings whom we can't see is basically using reason for now, yeah? Using reasoning. Then we come to infer how they are suffering. So for those beings whom we can see directly of, then it's much easier to understand their suffering, isn't it? Of course, isn't it? What about the suffering, the beings and the suffering of those beings whom we can't see for now? What other way is there to understand their suffering? What other way? There's no way other than reasoning for now. Reasoning, using reasoning, isn't it? So, 来, 有没有问题的? We will talk about the reflection, the nine reflection and 9 points of the 9 point reflection on death and impermanence. Next lesson.
有问题?
啊, 你有问题啊?
有.
你真的是有问题啊?
I have some question. One question regarding page 48. The last few sentences. The one on the answer. The purpose, the actual purpose, and then the answer. So, the last second sentence. Moreover, through being taught the common path and through training, those with good fortune or superior capacity will soon develop positive quality that had or had not arisen. So, question here is, who are those with good fortune or superior capacity? And also, why need to develop positive quality when they had already arisen?
So, Mr. Tan, you say what's the purpose of developing a path that's already been developed, right?
Yes.
Yeah, stay there.
Yeah, why?
By the way, the person of the fortune here refers to the person of great capacity.
Okay.
The person of tomorrow, Lamten, the Jambe, Jessimams, Maja, Jan, New to you, and then the Javar Curious. The car is second, Jessimams. Missing Sekora.
The paragraph in question is it says this. Furthermore, there could be persons who have the fortune to have already produced the higher paths in past lives. Okay, there are such people, yeah. So if they are taught the paths shared with persons of lower capacity, and they then train in them, they will quickly give rise either to those good qualities developed previously, or to those not developed before. Defong, you're saying that because you really developed those qualities in the past, so why should we bother to develop them again here, right?
They're already there,
isn't it?
Yeah, already developed.
I mean, not that they're already there. You said that they're already there already, isn't it?
Yes.
So the persons of great the persons who have the fortune to have really produced the higher powers in the past lives. Yeah. So these persons of great, these persons of fortune have trained in these paths before, isn't it? Yeah. Paths that are shared with the others, capacity. Yeah. So if they then train again in these paths in this life, they will produce these paths quickly, and those qualities they have not produced, they will develop quickly. Yeah. That's what the text is saying, yeah. Mr. Tan?
Yes, okay.
Hi, I'm Ai Kui. Two questions. Would you agree that full enlightenment means no longer existing? In other words, you're broken the chain of the cyclic samsara, so you're no longer reborn in any realm, whether it is low, high, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So would I be correct to say that to attain enlightenment means you no longer exist? That's the first question. Second question is, if a being who attains enlightenment because of his bodhicitta intentions, if I'm right to say that enlightenment means you no longer exist, then how does he help sentient beings if he no longer exists? Those are the two questions. Thank you.
The second question will not exist if you answer the first question in a certain way. So let's answer the first question first.
I beg your pardon?
So when we achieve omniscience, state of full enlightenment, we do not become nothing. So it's not that we become nothing when we achieve full enlightenment. And right at the beginning of the path, the very purpose of generating bodhicitta is for sentient beings, right? Then in the middle, one trains in the path to accumulate the collection of merit and wisdom for sentient beings. And then in the end, one becomes a Buddha for sentient beings. Yeah. So it would be incorrect to say that after doing all this at the end, then we become nothing, isn't it?
어떻게 이나야 나자와 내 여러분이나 나자와 내 연구여러 이나야 곧 내단 님을 자와 냄바디 다 준차와 내단 님을 자와 냄국여만 그런 거와 다 냄국여만 내단 님을 자와 내기 다 근데 이제 준차와 이나야 다 심지 전체다 다 그러와 다 구시 산지 구시 기내 수디야 약고 신고여러 그러와
So but as you said, when we know about taking rebirth, when one achieves full enlightenment, one will never ever take rebirth again under the control of karma and the afflictions. So when one achieves, when you achieve enlightenment, the continuity of taking rebirth due to karma and afflictions is completely gone, it's cut. Yeah. Okay. But the Buddha does. The Buddha is able to, as a Buddha, you're able to benefit sentient beings in various forms. Yeah. And in order to understand this, you really must understand what it means. What is Buddha? So we talk about Buddha as being the four bodies. Yeah. You know, we talk about the four bodies of Buddha, you know. So we really have to understand what they are. Yeah. So we need to have a very clear understanding of what the four bodies are. Buddha is the four bodies. Yeah. So one of the four bodies, Dharmakaya, the truth Dharmakaya, or the truth body. Then the nature body, Svabhavabhikaya. Then you have the complete enjoyment body, the Sambhogakaya, and then you have the emanation body, or the Namanakaya. So in short, the truth body, the nature body, the complete enjoyment body, and the form body. I mean, the word body is used, yeah, but sometimes embodiment may be more accurate, depending on the context, to give you an understanding. You know, when we use body, our English idea is always, you know, something. So if one understands, you have good understanding of what Buddha is. The Buddha is the four bodies. Then you would then be able to decisively conclude that one does not disappear into nothingness when you achieve enlightenment. There is this school of thought within Buddhism. Yeah. So according to the lowest philosophical school in Buddhism, they are called the Vaibhashikas, or the followers of the Great Exposition School. This will come in 2013, this module. So that the lowest Buddhist school, the Vaibhashikas, or the Great Exposition School, they assert that when one achieves both the nirvana with remainder and without remainder, after that, then you know, in the sense of the word, you do become nothing. So I mean, there's this lower school of thought.
Pembroke,
Pembroke,
Sheba.
So so for the person who achieves nirvana, according to this lowest, which is not the ultimate view, but you know, there's this school of thought even in Buddhism that when you achieve nirvana, when you achieve liberation, the continuity of your body and mind is forever severed. So there is that thought, yeah.
Oh yeah, that it is. Okay. All right.
Okay. Yam King.